Scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You may be seated.
I have a lot more to look at tonight than I do at Shady Grove. I stand up at Shady Grove and I just look right there. There's the congregation. So this is quite an honor tonight. It's a privilege to be an instrument of the Lord and to share with you a message from His Word that comes to us to change our lives. I thank the eldership here for giving me this opportunity, and at any particular time, I look forward always to such an opportunity. I call your attention tonight to Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 13, and here's what the Bible says. It says, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so tonight we're going to ask a question. I believe it is an appropriate question. I believe that it is a question that needs to be asked. And that is, how or what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? How is that to be done? And this is going to be our interest tonight, and I think rightfully so, because we need an answer to this question. The world that we live in needs to know how to call on the name of the Lord. The world does not need to simply go to this passage and isolate it and then look at you and say, well, see, that is all I have to do, and then formulate their own idea concerning it. We need to understand the answer to it and understand it from a biblical point of view. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to use Scripture. And when we do use a Scripture, we're going to also be interested in the context of that Scripture. In other words, things that come before a particular verse and also things that come after a particular verse. And for the simple reason that we want, thus saith the Lord, when we're finished. We're not interested tonight in man's opinion. We're only interested in what the Lord has to say. We are interested tonight in God's truth. And if you'll remember, His Son that He loved so much and sent Him for us because He also loved us, His Son said in John 17, Thy word is truth. But then again, He said in John the 8th chapter, the truth will make you free. And so tonight, whatever doesn't fit into our approach, in other words, whatever isn't of Scripture, then what we're going to do is we're just going to discard it. We're going to remove it. We're going to let it go because we want a thus saith the Lord. And one of the real reasons we want a thus saith the Lord is because, you know, the subject that we're dealing with tonight has to do with man's salvation. And so it's a very important subject. Paul is talking about someone who has the potential before God of being saved. And if you look at the verse, you know that's what it said, shall be saved. And so we're going to be very careful. We're going to be concerned tonight to make sure we abide in the truth. The answer we give out, we want it to be scripturally based. You'll remember 2 John 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine, that's the teaching of Christ, does not have God. But it goes on to say, but whoever does abide in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Well, I want to have the Father and the Son as a part of my life. We sang a hymn tonight about thou that changes not abide with me. And I want to tell you, that's the one we want to abide with us in life. The first thing that I wish to do this evening is put before us what the majority of the Christendom maintains that calling on the name of the Lord means. And we're talking about the Christendom, the overall religious world with interest in Christianity. What does this world say? Well, you might hear something like, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. No further comment, no further explanation, just accept Him as your personal Savior. If you have something within you that you're emotional about, and yes, you want Him as your Savior, then you express that in any whatever way you want to do that. Another thing that is said is just invite Jesus into your heart. Just mentally and orally affirm Jesus' Lordship. And then, of course, pray to the God of heaven that you can be saved. Well, as we continue tonight, we're going to see that that's not right. The first thing I believe that we must understand is that this word call simply means doing whatever God specifies must be done. That's what it means. And so I would say it's a milder way, you know, of saying, oh, obey the Lord. But that's what it means. It refers to the obedient response to Him and His will to please God. And then the end result is enjoy the promises and the blessings. And I am personally confident that this is precisely what we're going to see. And so you look at the context of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and I want to tell you, when you do that, it puts an entirely different light on everything. And once you see the context, it will help you to be a person that is not going to misuse the Scripture. It'll help to protect you from doing that sort of thing. Because, you know, you look at the context and then you read the verse within that context and you see that Paul is stressing something. He is stressing something by quoting Joel 2 and verse 32, and what he is stressing is the universalness of the gospel of Jesus. That's what he's showing. He is showing the gospel's outreach. He is showing who the gospel encompasses and is able to take in. And if you will, you look at the word, and the word is whosoever. I remember Jesus in Mark 16:15 telling his disciples, you know, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I remember he just said in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. So you see what Paul is saying then is that salvation is for all. And it will come upon anyone who will obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as we use the stronger and more powerful terminology. Now, there's something I want you to notice in verse 13. If you look at that, you're not going to find the essentials of the plan of God through His Son. And so for that reason, and that's reason enough, you don't go to this passage for the plan of salvation. You go to this passage to realize that God is rich in His love for all, and that you, as well as anyone else, is able to call on the name of the Lord. But you do not find in this verse the essentials of the plan. And so what I want us to do now is let's get into the text, Romans 10. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the verses, actually that was read before my lesson, and the verses that immediately follow verse 13. And they become interesting to me. I want to establish first that calling cannot be the same as believing. Look, if you will, at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him? You see, that's one thing. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Now, that's another. So the way it works out is, with the one you will do the other. And so Paul asks this question, and then from here he builds. I want you to watch how he builds things. Still in verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? A very significant word. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, I'm up here tonight, and what I'm doing is I'm proclaiming the Lord's words from His Scripture. And so you're having the privilege tonight to hear. And so you look at verse 15, and it actually mentions the preaching done by the preacher. And the Bible tells us that the preaching is of the gospel of peace and the bringing of glad tidings of good things. And so you see then all of a sudden the gospel is in the picture. And Paul says that it is beautiful when a preacher is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, when you read this, then it makes verses 16 and 17 that much more interesting. The apostle goes on to say, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, which simply means they have not called on the name of the Lord. Because you see, that's what calling on the name of the Lord is. It's obedience. It is listening to His word, letting it be soaking into the soil of your heart, and then after listening to His word, you respond to His word because His word has produced faith in you, and that faith will take you to the next step that you are to take, and you will be obedient to what is called the gospel of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, and He's going to be taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His
power.
Hebrews 4 and verse 2 makes the statement, the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them who heard it. And so they've not all obeyed the gospel. They've not obeyed because Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You see, the idea is if they had believed the report, they would have obeyed. And so faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I want us to get the sequence of Romans 10:14 and forward. Here it is. You have a preacher, and the preacher preaches. And then the preacher is preaching to those who are hearers. And the hearer hears. And of course it is the hopes of the preacher who is letting them hear the preaching of the word. It's his hopes that the hearer will believe. And then upon believing, the hearer, you know what he does? The hearer calls. Because the Lord has stirred them to interest in their soul. The hearer calls or is obedient. And so anyway, that's how it plays out in Scripture. There's another chapter I want to go to. And it is in Acts 2 and verse 21. I like this chapter because it's the Apostle Peter, and he also is preaching, and he also quotes Joel. And so we're going to read this again, Joel. Acts 2:21. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to tell you the reason I like this particular text, especially with Joel again being quoted. It's because you and I are going to see firsthand the conversion of someone under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at in Acts 2. We're going to see the firsthand conversion under the covenant of Jesus for our lives today, 2018. So I want to tell you, loosen up, because the Apostle Peter is going to give us something that is very, very needed today in our world. Now, when you think about that day, there were those who listened to the sermon preached by Peter. And you know what they did? They called on the name of the Lord. The Bible says of these people that they were pricked in their hearts after hearing the message. And they were so touched by the message and what it meant to their lives, they cried out for an answer, what shall we do? I want us to notice they wanted an answer. And did you know that that is when the calling began? And so I want us to watch it happen. The Apostle Peter giving them the answer, guided by the Holy Spirit of truth. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit let us know through them the truth. I want us to listen. I want us to watch it happen, because we're going to be listening to one of whom Jesus said, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, whatever Peter is going to say, it's important for anyone who lives and has lived from that day forward into 2018. It's going to be important things. I'm going to give to you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. And also, we're going to be listening to the one of whom Jesus promised, based upon the confession that he made that the one that he was talking to and the one that he was addressing was the only begotten Son of Almighty God. And upon the rock of that foundation, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to build my church. And it's significant to me that Jesus didn't say my churches. That's man's doing. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In other words, my promise is going to happen. And it did. It did. Those of you and I who have obeyed the gospel in our lives are members of the church that Jesus promised to build. Now, as we go through this, I want you to take special notice how it compares with Joel and what he said. Okay, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, and so now what he is involved in is he is answering their question. And notice what he says. After they have been touched and pricked in their hearts, here's what he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. No exceptions. Everyone that I am looking at, there is no exceptions to this that I am sharing with you by the Spirit of truth. If you're interested in your soul salvation, you have got to listen to me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Well, what did Joel say? Joel used the phraseology, whosoever shall call. The Apostle Peter using every one of you. You know what Peter is doing? He is helping these people. He's helping these people understand and to carry out the call. That's what he's doing. Well, what does Peter say next? He says, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you see how it ties together? What did Joel say? He says, call on the name of the Lord. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ is the Lord. And you remember Peter in Acts 2:36 says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have done this to, whom you have crucified, he has made him both Lord and Christ. I remember Paul saying in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all. Now get this, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, the Apostle Peter is helping us to see what his quoting of Joel meant. He is spicing up our understanding of having quoted Joel. The people ask, what are we to do? We are wanting to call on the name of the Lord, Peter. We need information. And what does he do? He tells them, here is what you are to do. And you are to do this without any doubt. You are to do this without any wavering, without any argument, without any debate. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thirdly, he gives us the reason. Watch this. Peter says to those people who are interested in their soul's salvation, he says to those people, all of this is done for the remission of your sins. Now again, think about Joel in that little bitty verse of prophecy. Shall be saved. Well, I want to tell you something. Remission of your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the equivalent of salvation. That is the equivalent of being saved. And so, what we have in Acts the second chapter and Romans chapter 10 is a shedding of light on that quote. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul are enlarging our information so that we might understand what it means to call on the name of the Lord. And so what we have here is a respect for the New Testament and an honor and a reverence for the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know what you don't do? You don't ignore somebody's will. You treat their will with respect and honor. And when a person dies, you honor their will. And how much more so the Lord's. The Hebrew writer said, talking about and meaning the new covenant, the New Testament of Jesus, by the which will we are sanctified, by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Well, before I close the lesson tonight, there's one other passage that I would like to mention. It is Acts 9, 13 and 14. And in just a moment, we will notice another one or two verses in this chapter. But just listen to what verses 13 and 14 say. The Bible says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Now I want to tell you something. Ananias was unaware of the changes that had taken place in Saul's life. And this is one of the reasons why we have this particular response of him to the Lord. And so anyway, he was given from the Lord then some reassurances. And verse 15 says to him, Ananias, go. For he, that is Saul of Tarsus, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. In other words, Ananias, you can be totally confident. I'm telling you, he has changed. As a matter of fact, Ananias is going to be the one to assist him at the right time to become a Christian. Now let's notice verses 21 and 22. The Bible says, then all who heard, and this is the disciples, then all who heard were amazed and said, it took them a little time to get comfortable with Saul of Tarsus, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But the Bible says of Saul, he increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. I want to tell you something. Those who called on the name of Jesus in Jerusalem are the very ones who repented and were baptized. Interesting, isn't it? Well, let's just simply, as we close, let's ask, how did Paul call on the name of the Lord? Well, I'll tell you this. He did it the same way as those in the city of Jerusalem. Acts 9 and verse 18 says, he arose and he was baptized. Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias asked a question to him, why are you waiting? You know, sometimes we delay, don't we? And he said, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, Ananias was telling Saul of Tarsus, get it done. Get it done. And you know, he did get it done. And that was the process. Being baptized, washing away his sins, that's how Paul called on the name of the Lord. And that is in keeping with God's plan through his Son. That is in keeping with God's eternal plan. This is the essentials in the plan of God. What we generally refer to as the first principles of the oracles of God's teaching. This is how one becomes a Christian. Now, I'm going to flip over to a passage that is written, and by the way, we're real close to the end of our lesson, so don't get the jitters. Don't go to sleep on me. There's one other passage I want to share with you, and this passage, the writer is writing to Christians. Listen, 2 Timothy 2:22, the Bible says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Did you hear that? You know what that lets me know? We don't quit ever in our lives calling on the name of the Lord. Even if we are a Christian, and this is who this refers to, who are living godly lives, they are calling on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. It never stops. And brethren, beloved, don't ever let it stop. Psalms 145 and verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all, now get this, to all who call upon him in truth. In other words, to all who call upon him who will listen to his word. Because that is equivalent, always will be equivalent to calling on the name of the Lord. And so I want to one more time reiterate that calling means obediently responding to the Lord. And so I close with these passages. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Luke 6 and verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Paul said in Romans 10:21, the Bible says, to Israel, he says, Now, I want you to notice what he says to Israel. And I truly hope tonight that he would not have to say this to us. To Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and a contrary people. I hope that's not you tonight. I believe tonight you know what you need to do. If you haven't yet done it, what you need to do to become a Christian. Won't you do exactly the same thing tonight what those on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Jesus did when Peter gave them the answer of inspiration? Won't you do the same thing tonight? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Show your interest tonight in the salvation of your soul. If you need to, won't you come? Won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing?